I'm not in a mood for drama with Mike Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys. All right. Be good.
Presented by Coors Light.
Rutledge and Hamilton continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. He's Hamilton. I am Rutledge. Matt Hamilton doesn't have a lot of clothes on his chest, but he has something to get off his chest, apparently.
Yeah, I got two things for Jason right off the bat. One, a comment.
Two pecs?
Jason, so every break, like clockwork, the second it's done, Strophy loves to go either come in here and chat with us or go out in the office and chat with the group. Whenever you're on next, he just sits in the booth and yucks it up with you.
I literally just went to the bathroom.
Oh, dude, we were just sitting here for the last, 3 minutes watching you pace back and forth talking to Jason. It's like watching a cat in the zoo pacing back and forth. You were just so into your phone call with Jason. I enjoyed it. It was nice.
I do enjoy my 90 seconds a week I get to spend with Jason when Jesse Nelson normally works, but now on Wednesdays I get to spend 3 hours with him.
Yeah, it's awesome. He really does find you as his hero, so I think that's really cute. And now, Jason Mount, my real question. Have you ever worn a tank top to work?
All right, so that's what Jason. You're currently wearing? Is that what I'm to understand here?
Yes. He is wearing a tank. He's going Pat McAfee. He's going full Pat McAfee today.
Not only have I never worn a tank top to work... I gotta be honest. I don't think there was a time when I thought I was in pretty good shape. Not as good a shape as Jim Rutledge is, thanks to Dr. Nestor Rodriguez. But I don't think I've ever worn a tank top, much less to work. And then with a video component to your show on top of it, so yeah. You must be just an Adonis. Over there that you feel comfortable enough to do that.
Curler's body.
You just don't care.
Just huggable. That's how I would describe my shape.
Like a marshmallow.
Yeah.
Just huggable.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me tune in to the video stream so I can get a better idea of what I'm dealing with here. Let me join that. Please hold. I got a lot of Ben Brust reads. Oh, there you are.
Matt is hamming it up right now with the photo or with the photo here.
The
too.
Shirt's hilarious. My tank top says 6-pack coming soon, and it's got a lizard carrying a case of beer. So
he's chuffed with himself.
I really like cover. This.
Yeah.
When the airlines lost my luggage on my honeymoon, this was the shirt that I purchased in the gift shop at the resort we were staying at.
Nice.
So.
And your wife immediately reconsidered her decision, or she was like, this is what I married. I'm fine with this.
Well, when I bought it, she goes, if the 6-pack is coming soon, then I'm okay with it. still working on it.
How many years ago was that? Yes, exactly.
Okay, there we go. Well, moving to football here, Matt Hamilton, you and Rashawn Gary share some representation on some agent sort of things here.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
He's your guy, and I believe Jason, either he's starting the ramp up period or he's working his way back to practice here. What's the latest on Rashawn Gary?
Yeah, he did some 11-on-11 today, which was a big step for him, obviously. So that's great news. That's progress for him. But, you know, is he going to play 65 snaps in Chicago on September 10th? I'm not sure about that. I'm guessing they're probably going to be a little extra careful with him. But, no, he's rip-roaring ready to go. And it was a really important step for him, and so he's excited. Now, I actually, while the big group was around him, I was talking to Eric Stokes, who, remember, was injured in the very same game. And he is still not cleared for even individual drills yet. He's still on the physically unable to perform list, and I think that's where he's going to start the season, frankly. So, different injuries and different timelines, but this is really big for Rashawn Gary. I actually... was looking forward, Jim, to speaking with you.
Okay.
Because I'm curious. What? No, that's not a slight on you.
I know, I'm just kidding.
let me explain why. So we spent some time, I don't know if you guys caught the show, you can always catch on Wisconsin On Demand. Presented by Groove Law Offices, one call, that's all. But we spent some time talking about the Jordan Love hype train that seems to be barreling down the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if, Jim, in your memory banks, you can think back, you know, sometime between 2017 to when they decided not to pick up his fifth-year option, if there was a time when the hype train in a preseason was like it is for Love for Mitch Trubisky. Because, the national folks, Homer and Tony just played for me, Dominique Foxworth, who was talking about him, and Dan Patrick and Pat McAfee and Dan Orlovsky, and I heard Freddie Coleman talking about it. Look, I am encouraged by what he's done. I think he has been better during camp than I expected him to be. I thought there would be a little more growing pains, especially in the joint practices, which, by the way, there were some huge ones, and he did not have a good practice the second day against the Patriots. And quite frankly, he should be glad that the focus was on the skirmishes and the fights, because otherwise, if there had been no fights, I think the focus would have been on how the Patriots defense ate his lunch that day. And then he great throw to Dobbs for the 50-yard gain, great touchdown throw, Jaden Reed.
Would you call that one a wild
first
throw?
Two drives, one ended.
The Jaden Reed one.
It was no. I would say I thought his throw to Dobbs was really good. I thought Dobbs actually got turned around, because ideally you're catching that over your outside shoulder,
right?
And you're using your back to kind of box the guy out, and you got the sideline on the other side of you. So that was more of a wild throw to me. It was a really good throw, but somebody, I don't know who did it on Twitter, but I saw somebody put a side-by-side of Rodgers throwing that to Cobb and Love throwing it to Reed, and it looks exactly the same. They call that a through route. And it was identical. But my question, Jim, is, I'm sorry, I started rambling there. My question is, did you ever feel the hype for Mitch Trubisky? Because I'm just so taken aback by how the narrative has turned in the span of two preseason games, which under other circumstances we're talking about how preseason doesn't mean anything. But when it comes to Jordan Love, apparently it means the world.
Yeah, I would say that there was, I don't know if it's the Jordan Love part of it. I think part of it is the franchises. Green Bay, even though it's not the same regime, has a track record of success with quarterbacks, and Chicago has the complete opposite. So I think there is a poise from national and local media in each market to be like, this guy's bad, because Chicago always has bad quarterbacks, so the next one will be bad. And maybe with Love, it's Green Bay always has good quarterbacks, so this one will just be good. I would say the comp is that
good point.
Mitch tore it up in regular season games. He had a great one season, or a good one season as a starter, and he had really nice preseasons, which is what I point out here. And I heard you and Tausch talk about it on Monday of physically, we know Jordan Love can do these things. We saw him doing it against Eagles. Physically, Mitch Trubisky can make all the throws, make the runs, do all those things. The issue was when, to borrow from Chewy, it went from fifth or ninth grade math to algebra or advanced algebra or whatever, that's where Mitch got in trouble. Or when things went bad in a real football game that had real consequences, he couldn't bounce back regularly. And so that's the part that I think that I'm waiting to see on Love of, well, what happens when you actually get hit and there's actually, and then people know what you're going to do? I think Tausch and you both said this, Love should be really good, I think, for the first few games, because he'll know the offense, he'll know how to run it, and then when teams know how to scheme against them, now we're going to figure out who Jordan Love is. Because Mitch Trubisky, I think, in maybe his fifth game with Nagy as a starter, threw six touchdowns against the Buccaneers. Then people got tape on him, and then they go, oh, no, you're solved, game over. So there's so many. It's so long for Jordan Love to figure out if he's going to be good or bad. We're at he's took one step out of the batter's box as far as figuring out what his career is going to be. from like an expert at back quarterback.
And I agree.
We've like literally read the like the book leaf of the Jordan Love book. Like if his career is a book, we are not even through the intro yet.
And for me and the number of books I've read lately, that's as far as I generally get. I would also say this. Just because I am hemming or hawing or hedging or whatever Tausch likes to say I do, I just feel like that's the responsible approach with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think pumping him up the way he's getting pumped up does him any favors either, because if we're all talking about him the way people are talking about him now, and then he goes out in Chicago and Matt Eberflus has a really good plan for him and he plays poorly, and then he goes to Atlanta and he struggles in Atlanta, the same people that are talking about him, like Orlovsky's talking about him, are going to turn around and pretend that that conversation never happened and be on Get Up or whatever else talking about how much of a struggle it's been. And oh boy, I bet these guys are thinking, well, I wish we had Aaron Rodgers right about now and doing that kind of, I mean, I
well,
just,
yeah,
that's
Jason.
Why I just, I want fans to, Jimmy, I just want fans to understand. I want him to succeed and I have seen good things from him. I'm just not ready to make the proclamations that too many people are willing to make right now.
And Jason, I'm with you on it. And but the thing is, I think that's interesting is if you really listen to them, because look, they do the same thing with Fields at times too, but they're all hedging. If Jordan Love plays like he did in the preseason, then he will be great. Yeah, obviously. If Justin Fields goes 3 for 3 and everyone takes every half-inch throw he makes all the way to the end zone, he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of ifs. When you listen to the national media, there's a lot of if this is the same, if this goes right, if everything is a lot of ifs, so they can back off of it quickly.
It is reliant on that. But I will say this, Jason, and the reason I'm so excited.
Oh, he's all in. He's got him next. He's got a plaque in the Hall of Fame.
I've already got the gold jacket fitted. No, I'm kidding.
He's already got the tattoo.
After
Super Bowl champs.
After seeing that third offensive drive against New England on Saturday and just the excitement from it, right? The Dobbs pass down the sideline.
Against their backup corners.
Well, regardless,
you're gonna make him cry, Jason.
Matthew Judon was still in the game. I didn't realize it was the backup corners, but I guess I don't really care. I like
one starter played for the Bengals in that game. On
I'm talking about the New England.
I know,
game.
But like the previous game.
But I
you're talking about one drive.
I'm just excited about the possibilities, right? Zach Tom looked really good at right tackle. AJ Dillon laying down a nice block, and it seems like Jordan Love's decisiveness has improved. So like these are all good notes to me. It gives me encouragement that this offense is going to have moments in 2023 where we go, holy crap, they can be really good in 2024.
You can be encouraged, Stroh. Do not allow me to take away be the thief of joy on you once again. Because I know I played that role to some acclaim throughout your life. But I think you do have to keep it in perspective. He's played 29 snaps of preseason football. He's played 5 series. He's got 2 touchdowns on the board out of 5. That's great. Awesome. The throw to Dobbs was terrific. I also loved what I saw from him when he got up and showed some fire after he got late hit, because that doesn't seem to be his personality, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's so even keeled. I love the fact that he has not at any point, and God knows I've seen plenty of quarterbacks do this, he has not at any point looked completely frazzled or skittish or panicky or scared, right? Those are all great things, and let's take them as great things. I'm just saying that they don't prove anything one way or the other. So the same people that want to say, oh, he sucks and this is an aberration, they don't have enough information to back that up either. I just think this is, and this is my belief, I just think that this is, we are so starved for more information on this kid that we will take whatever we can get, and we are all, and I'm trying not to be one of them, but even I've done it too, I've talked about wild throws, we are so starved for that whatever it is, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, we are blowing it out of proportion because we're just so eager to have something to work with beyond 10 snaps against against Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Jason, I'm with you on that. Apparently, Alex told me we have to break. But yeah, I guarantee if you go into any market, any player that does well in the preseason, Hall of Fame. Any player that's not doing well, it's fine. It's just the preseason. I mean, that's honestly what's
happening. You're right about that.
Because how's Lucas Van Ness? Is he bad now because he hasn't had flash plays?
He's just young. Right?
It's just the preseason,
It's a different expectation for a rookie.
You told me we had to break.
Well, we can break in a second because I want to talk this out.
No, I want to hear from Wildy. If we're going to stay on, we have Wildy on. You can hash out after the break. But if we're going to have Wildy on, we're going to have Wildy on.
I can't wait for Jason Wildy to crush my hopes and dreams tomorrow
morning. You
at
told
9
me we had
when
to break.
I fill in for Jesse
so
Nelson.
I'm not going to let you
we
run
can
through
break.
It. All right, Jason, thank you so much.
Yeah, Matt, go back to chewing your pen with your six pack there. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Miss any of the show? Find full show podcasts free on Wisconsin On Demand and wherever you get your podcasts.